Well, today we are going to continue our study concerning how Jacob and Esau were reconciled. And today we're going to try and see how we can go a bit more deeply and to really appreciate the way in which Jacob saw the things that he did. And today we are going to have the Bible readers to be able to read for us, and also for Pastor Moses to lead us in a pastoral prayer. Well, before we begin, let's go to God in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we truly want to thank you that we can come into your house once again to worship you. Help us, Lord, to lay aside all distractions. Help us, Lord, to find the kind of focus that you rightly deserve. May we be able, Lord, to worship you in spirit and in truth. We ask that you will wash and cleanse us anew, that we can come into your presence in a multitude of your mercies. And may we be able, Lord, to give you worship that is acceptable to you. We ask for your special blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hand this time over to the Bible readers.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Yuanyi, and this is Joel. Today is our great joy and privilege to be able to be here leading you in a time of singing praises to God, and more importantly, that we can gather at this beautiful house of the Lord to worship Him. Today, I'd like to share with you a song that is entitled Immortal Invisible by Laura Story. If you would refer to the slide, for the first verse, or you could refer to your bulletin, that is on page 6 of your bulletin. The first verse of the song, it reads, "Immortal, you are not like a man, that you change your mind or change your plan." The Lord is certainly not like us, mankind who are fickle-minded, who are indecisive. The Lord God is an unchanging God who is faithful to His word, and He keeps to His word. God's faithfulness is concretely portrayed through the way that He fulfilled His promises and plan towards Jacob. At Bethel, God promised Jacob that He would three things: that He would be with him, to keep him, and to bring him back to the land of Canaan. After 20 years, many events have transpired in the life of Jacob. But one thing that remained unchanging was that God kept to His word, and God remained faithful in keeping to the plan that He had for Jacob, and He brought him back home safely to the land of Canaan. It is so wonderful that every time as we read the word of God, the word that we read in the scriptures, God commits Himself to it, and every word that He says, He will bring it to pass. And if you refer to the second part of this verse, of the song, it says, "Invisible, our human eyes can't see the depths of your majesty." How can anything in this world ever contain the majesty of God? You know, even the skies that we see, or the oceans, the far-reaching oceans that we see, are only but a glimpse of God's majesty. You know, as we read the book of Genesis, it is not simply about the life of Jacob, but behind it all, I see the greatness and glory of God's majesty working in the life of an undeserving sinner. You know, our Lord is an eternal God. Like the chorus in this song, it reads, "You are the God of forever and ever. He is the Alpha, Omega, beginning and the end. This God whom we worship today reigns forever, and He is the God deserving of our praise." So the only befitting response that we can offer today is to worship in awe of this great and amazing God. And as we take this song together, let's be mindful of the majesty of God and the greatness of God. Let's sing this song together, Immortal, Invisible God.
A few weeks ago, we learned about how Jacob, in his moment of fear and distress, offered up a prayer to God. And as we studied his prayer in Genesis 32, We see how Jacob wasn't someone who related to God as often as he should. He adopted a third person's perspective and was rather formal when addressing God at the start of his prayer. In Genesis 28, Jacob's prayer at Bethel was one-sided and transactional. And even though God had extended his mercies and truth by protecting him and speaking to him on multiple occasions, there's very little mention of Jacob relating back to God in prayer. These instances, or lack thereof, paints for us a picture of the state of Jacob's relationship with God. Reflecting on this lesson has led me to assess my own relationship with God. I realized how easy it is to be caught up with distractions, so much so that I do not relate to God in prayer as much as I should. God has been faithfully reaching out to me and drawing near to me through His Word each week. My part is to respond to it and to draw near to Him. Moving forward, my challenge is to make prayer a more consistent and significant part of my life. I'm seeking to do that by making God's Word my focus each time I pray, and to devote more time on a regular basis to relate to God in prayer. So as we worship the Lord today, let us do so being conscious that we have a God who wants to establish a close relationship with us. The next song we'll be singing is In the Secret. The words of this song represent a desire and a longing to know the Lord in a much deeper and personal way. The first verse speaks of focusing on God's presence in the quiet moments of prayer and meditation. It then goes on in the second verse to describe a resolve to press on and push every hindrance aside in our journey to draw nearer to God. This afternoon, may we echo the words of this song and make it our personal endeavor to draw closer to our Lord God. With that, let us sing our next song together, In the Secret.
Good afternoon, everyone. Today, we will be reading from Genesis 33, verses 8 to 20. In this passage, Jacob recognized God's mercies and involvement in restoring his relationship with Esau, insisting that Esau accepts his present for him. After going on their separate ways, Jacob arrived at Canaan and worshipped the Lord. Then Esau said, "What do you mean by all this company which I met?"
And he said, "These are to find favor in the sight of my Lord."
But Esau said, "I have enough, my brother. Keep what you have for yourself."
And Jacob said, "No, please. If I have now found favor in your sight, then receive my present from my hand, inasmuch as I have seen your face as though I had seen the face of God, and you were pleased with me. Please take my blessing that is brought to you, because God has dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough." So he urged him, and he took it.
Then Esau said, "Let us take our journey. Let us go, and I will go before you."
But Jacob said to him, "My Lord knows that the children are weak, and the flocks and herds which are nursing are with me. And if the men should drive them hard one day, all the flock will die. Please let my Lord go on ahead before his servant. I will lead on slowly at a pace which the livestock that go before me and the children are able to endure, until I come to my Lord in Seir."
And Esau said, "Now let me leave with you some of the people who are with me."
But he said, "What need is there? Let me find favor in the sight of my Lord."
So Esau returned that day on his way to Seir. And Jacob journeyed to Succoth, built himself a house, and made booths for his livestock. Therefore, the name of the place is called Succoth. Then Jacob came safely to the city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan, when he came from Padan Aram. and he pitched his tent before the city. And he bought the parcel of land where he had pitched his tent from the children of Hamor, Shechem's father, for 100 pieces of money. Then he erected an altar there and called it El Elohe Israel.
Thank you, worship leaders, and thank you, scripture readers. This afternoon, it is my joy and my privilege to lead us all in a time of prayer. You know, at Youth Worship, we've been talking about the idea of faith and having a faith that can help us deal with our fears. And you know, the reality about fear, about the problem of fear, is that, you know, we face fears throughout our lives. As a child, we face fears as a child. And that is something that I see right now. My daughter, Kyra, she's 25 months old, and she is afraid of separation, particularly separation from mommy, from Teacher Gana and my wife. And this is a fear that sometimes affects me as well. It makes me fearful as well. Because tonight, my wife is going overseas for 8 days. And, you know, I will need to help my daughter face her fears. And that is something that I fear. You know, as young people, we face fears. And that is something that I see very evidently as I read the newsletters, as I read the bulletin. You know, we have, as young people, as teens, there are fears with regards to social issues, friendship issues. There are fears about school, academic issues. And you know, the reality of life is that fears will keep coming at every stage of our lives. You know, one important thing that we want to recognize is, you know, the faith of yesterday may not be sufficient to help us meet the challenges and the fears of tomorrow. And so we want to be conscious that faith is something that must keep growing. Faith is something that must keep cultivating, because we want to always have a faith that can help us meet the challenges that may come. And this afternoon, I just want to encourage us all to pray that God will help us to grow in our faith. Is it a good prayer to make? And the answer is yes. Is it a prayer that we all can continue to make, continually make? And the answer is yes. And you know, this afternoon, as we take time to read the Lord's Word, we are reminded that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And you know, each time we read the Lord's Word, may this be a prayer that we learn to make, that we would grow in our faith as we read the Lord's Word. But let's pray this afternoon. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we want to come before you and we want to thank you so much for the gift of faith. We recognize that in life, there are many things that can cause us to fear. As a child, as a young person, as a teenager, in university, in school, Father, we just recognize that even though fears are there, we can exercise faith to overcome these fears. We pray that we would always seek to strengthen our faith. We recognize that the faith that we have today may not be sufficient for us to handle the fears and the challenges that may come tomorrow. We pray that we would desire to grow our faith. We pray that your word would fall into our hearts and your word would translate itself into greater faith. We pray that you'll bless us as we listen to your word this afternoon. Help us to receive your word correctly. We pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you, and hand the time over to Pastor Mark.
Well, thank you, Moses. Really appreciate how we can learn to face our fears with faith. Okay, last week we learned about the wonderful meeting between Jacob and Esau. I was just thinking, wow, for 2 decades, they have not related at all, even though they were twin brothers. Jacob came before Esau, bowed down 7 times. Esau ran to him, embraced him, kissed him. I thought, wow, this was such a meaningful meeting, a very tender moment between two brothers. And they were relating again after 20 over years. Just imagine that. I call this kiss and make up. You really want to be able to see how, wow, this is something special. And tears were shed. Why? Well, so much have been lost along the way. So many years were lost. They could have related, but they didn't. You know, they missed out on so much. And I'm sure there would have been some regret. Regret over the kind of pain that they had inflicted upon each other. And yet at the same time, there were probably tears of joy. You know, even as I read this passage all over again, my own heart was moved. And I kind of identify with Jacob a little bit more because I have a twin brother. As you know, Pastor Mitch is my twin brother. And have we had our own fair share of fights in the past? Yeah. I mean, when we were young, we used to fight with each other. Like, for instance, when we play with each other, and then we will hit each other. Like, you know, I'll hit his shoulder, and he will hit me. And then I'm thinking, wow, why you hit me so hard? I'll hit him harder. And, wow, before you know it, it's all out fight, you know. And we will be whacking each other, and our parents will come and spit us. We will be pulling each other's hair. It's amazing that we still have hair, all the pulling that was done. And when we were teenagers, there were differences in our understanding. There were arguments. And along the way, even as adults, even as pastors, sometimes we do have misunderstanding. So when I read about how these two twin brothers, Jacob and Esau, how they were reconciled, I thought, wow, this is something that was really special. It was moving. And yet, at the same time, we want to understand that, you know, when I look at my own relationship with Pastor Mitch, could there be times in which we were estranged? Could there have been times in which things would have been far worse? And things could have easily been far more difficult if we have not learned what it means to relate far better. So let's look at this reconciliation a little bit more. Okay, let's look at Genesis 33 and verse 8. And we read, "Then Esau said, 'Why do you mean by all this company which I met?'" Now, what is this company of things? This is something that was recorded earlier in chapter 32, right? This was a reference to the things that Jacob gave towards Esau, right? There was 200 female goats, 20 male goats, rams, camels, 40 cows, bulls, and so on and so forth. It was a huge gift. So Jacob was saying this is what was given, right? And Esau saw it, wow, what is all this company which I met? So this was something that Esau had never experienced before because Jacob had never given anything to Esau. So it was a new experience for him. Now, let's look at the answer of Jacob in verse 33. And he said, "These are to find favor in the sight of my Lord." So this was his way of explaining, right? Now, this is very, very different Jacob, right? Remember, Jacob was someone that was deceitful, he was scheming, he lied, and he cheated. This was a very different Jacob now. And he shared openly his true intentions, right? He wanted to find favor from Esau. And that's why he sought to give this wonderful, you know, this huge gift, right? And he wanted to find favor from Esau. He was trying to apologize to Esau. This is what we call a peace offering, right? Sometimes you want to make peace with somebody. You give what we call a peace offering, meaning you want to be able to relate again, to apologize. You give something out of love, out of a heart of to say sorry. You know, this is something that we want to appreciate about Jacob, that he was willing to admit wrong and to say that he was sorry. Now, recently, I had to apologize to my wife. And see, we had a steamboat recently, during Chinese New Year time. And we bought all kinds of things. We had chicken, we had pork. Now, my wife, she liked beef. She likes beef, and she bought this premium beef. Now, of course, there was too much food, so in the end, we didn't end up eating the beef, so we kept it. Now, one day, I decided to clean the freezer, and there was all these Ben and Jerry's ice cream that had expired. You know, people bring when we are having a meal together. So I was just checking all the Ben and Jerry's, different kinds of ice cream, and they were all expired, about 2-3 pints of them. So I took it and I threw it away. And then for the life of me, I couldn't remember this beef that was in the freezer when we had this beef. And I looked at it, it didn't really look very good. So I threw it away. So happened, a few days later, my wife came home. I said, you know, tonight, maybe we can have Maggie noodles. And then we can have the beef that was left over. Then I, ta-da. She wants to eat the beef that I threw away. She's going to have a beef with me. And, so I thought to myself, okay, what am I going to do? I kept quiet. The next morning, I admitted to my wife and say, hey, I think the beef, I threw away, you know. Say, huh? The beef that I bought, the premium beef, the Japanese, you know, from the Japanese supermarket. Say, yeah, I threw away the beef along with all the expired ice cream. I say, I tell you what, I'll buy you a nice dinner. And guess what we're going to eat? Beef. And so that was my peace offering to her. And, we all enjoyed ourselves. But I can understand what Jacob was trying to do. He was trying to apologize to Esau through this, you know, huge gift. But yet, at the same time, Jacob was still hesitant. He didn't quite understand still where Esau was coming from. So he addressed Esau as Lord, and he was still somewhat afraid of him. Because Esau had still, he had 400 men with him still. And of course, he is the hunter, the warrior. So he was still concerned. Now let's look at verse 9. This was the brotherly response of Esau. And Esau said, I have enough, my brother. Right? Keep what you have for yourself. Now, we also see somewhat a change Esau also. He was somewhat different. He was now relating to Jacob as brother. I mean, maybe, I mean, they've been brothers for many years, but maybe this was the very first time that they were relating as brothers, right? It was Jacob who was the greedy, he was the one who was scheming, he was covetous, but not Esau. But Esau's reply was full of grace, there was such kindness, there was such love. And that's something that we want to appreciate. Esau also changed. At least from what we can gather, how he was relating with Jacob at this point in time. Right? Remember, Esau was one who was angry. He wanted to kill Jacob. He had all these ill feelings. But now it was replaced with love. So Esau was not looking for anything. He said he had more than enough. He had enough to maintain 400 men. So that was something that we want to appreciate. He returned the gift to Jacob. And Jacob, of course, went on to persuade Esau to receive this gift. And let's look at verse 10. And Jacob said, "No, please. If I have now found favor in your sight, then receive my present from my hand, inasmuch as I have seen your face as though I have seen the face of God, and you were pleased with me. Please take my blessing that is brought to you because God has dealt graciously with me and because I have enough." So he urged him and he took it. So Jacob insisted, right, that Esau receive the gift. Now, Jacob could have also taken back the gift. Right? Remember, Jacob is one who will take and take. Are you the one? Okay, I will take back. But he didn't. He insisted on Esau taking his gift. He was polite. He said, "Please, please, if I found favor in your sight." He was really seeking to confirm that Esau truly was showing favor upon him. You know, God has blessed Jacob so much, abundantly. And it is out of these blessings that he wanted to give to Esau. No longer was he greedy or covetous, he was sharing the blessings that God has given to him, to his own brother Esau. And that was something special, right? And wonderfully, he saw Esau's face in a very different way. In fact, it was as though he saw the face of God. Now, that's something that we want to think about a little bit more, right? What does it mean, right, that Jacob saw the face of God? Did Jacob actually see the face of God? Now, we want to understand that there are things that are said in a more figurative way rather than literal. Now, during Moses' time, he asked God that he wanted to see his face. And God told him in Exodus 33, verse 20, and he said, "You cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live." So we recognize it's not a literal physical face that he's talking about. And we also want to understand that certain phrases are what we call idiomatic phrases. Right? In Genesis 28, we read about how Jacob was able to appreciate the place of God, right? In verse 17, and he was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God," right? Which is a reference to Bethel. Now, there's no house of God. There was no physical house. So we have to understand it as something figurative. Now, in Genesis 32, verse 30, Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, right? Which is also an idiomatic phrase, a reference to the face of God. So what does this mean? When Jacob said that he saw the face of God, we have to understand this as a figurative expression. It is to represent the kind of closeness that he had discovered with God. There was a nearness that he was experiencing with God. And this was something that was never experienced before. Jacob had never experienced this kind of closeness with God before. It took him a long time to come to this point where he was able to have this greater sense of closeness with God, right? Inasmuch as I've seen your face as though I had seen the face of God. Now, the phrase "as though" would tell us that it's not a literal face. It's as though he had seen the face of God. It was not the actual face of God. Now, he would have been recalling the encounter that he had with the angel of the Lord in chapter 32, right? And Jacob wrestled with the angel of God, and he named the place Peniel as he saw the face of God. So this was something that he would have recalled. And in being able to remember that, he was able to, as he looked at Esau, you know, he felt that, wow, this is as if I'm seeing the face of God. To me, wow, this was really something else. He was able to discover a greater sense of closeness like he never did before. Seeing how God had been there with him all these years, right from the very beginning, God had been there with him, protecting him, keeping him, providing for him. And he saw how the Lord had changed him also. Right? You see the change in him. He was no longer the deceptive person that he used to be. He was open. He expressed his true intention. He wanted to give to Esau what the Lord has blessed him with. He even saw how Esau had changed to a certain extent. And he felt this great sense of closeness with the Lord. I thought, wow, this is truly special. And in verse 11, of course, he pleaded with Esau, "Take my blessing that is brought to you, because God has dealt graciously with me." See, he was so much more conscious of God because he was that much more closer to God. He was able to see how God has been so gracious to him in more ways than one. And of course, Esau accepted what Jacob explained and received the gift. Now, young people, let's try and understand how is this applicable to us? And first of all, we want to learn the importance of cultivating our faith, right? It's important for us to grow our faith. In Genesis 28, we read about, or we learned about how Jacob commenced his faith. Previously, he really had no faith. But because of his encounter with God, his faith began. And we all need a starting point for our faith too. We want to be able to begin somewhere. And that's important. Now, from Genesis 29 to 31, we also see that Jacob's faith did not grow very much. In fact, it was very limited. There were a lot of struggles that he had to go through. Right? But when we come to chapter 32 and we see chapter 33, we see how Jacob's faith have grown and matured that much more. And it's so important for us to actually grow and mature our faith. Right? Even as we begin our holidays and it's June time, 6 months, I mean 5 months, and we are entering into the 6th month of 2022, it's good to ask ourselves, have we really learned to cultivate our faith? Have we really grown our faith over all these last few months? Right? How have we developed our faith? Which is something for us to consider. Now, yet at the same time, how can we verify this, that we have actually grown our faith? Well, it's so important for us also to see how there will come a change of heart. When you see your own heart change, it's actually an indicator that your own faith has actually grown. We can see that when there's a change of heart, we see things differently, right? Jacob saw things differently. When he was wrestling with the angel of the Lord, he could have asked for anything, but instead, he asked for God to specially bless him spiritually. He did not ask for the things that he once yearned for, physical things. Instead, he was asking for spiritual things. I thought, wow, that is something else. And this is something that we want to be able to appreciate. Because a lot of times when we yearn for physical things rather than spiritual things, it affects us. In fact, a lot of times relationships are strained because of physical things. You see how Jacob and Esau, for so many years, they were not able to relate. Why? Because of physical things. And we see the change in Jacob now. He was no longer looking for all these things. He was looking for spiritual things. The change of heart is also the way in which we see each other. Jacob saw Esau as his Lord. Wow, there was a greater sense of regard now. In fact, he sought his favor by giving this gift. That was a real change of heart that we see in Jacob, because it changed the way he saw his brother. You know, when we have a change of heart, it really affects the way we see our brother or sister or our parents. So let's ask ourselves, have we really grown in terms of our faith? But one way to verify this is the way in which you see your own brother, your own sister, your father, and your mother. Has that actually changed? If it has not changed from last year, right, maybe our faith has not grown very much. But if we are able to see our own faith grow, then it actually affects the way we see each other. Maybe we don't relate very much with our brother or sister or our parents, right? And in your own heart, you may feel sad. You know, maybe you yearn to relate a bit more. Maybe you yearn to be a lot closer with your siblings and especially your parents, right? And sometimes we find it so hard. How do I begin? Maybe you're asking yourself, how do I begin to draw closer? Maybe we have not been able to talk very much. We are not close. In fact, maybe we don't like each other and we are not related for a long time. How do I begin? Well, let's learn from Jacob. Maybe let's begin with a peace offering, right? No need to buy 200 goats and all, but maybe a meal, maybe a little gift, maybe to express how you feel, a letter. Let's start somewhere. Let's begin. Let's begin what it means to relate with each other. Because you don't want to end up like Jacob and Esau, year after year, after many, many years, where they don't relate at all. And you know, there would have been a lot of regret, there would have been a lot of sadness, and that would be really unfortunate. You know, I have the privilege of being a twin, and Pastor Mitch and I, we've been relating for over 50 years, right? And one of the reasons why we've been able to relate all these years is not because we are brothers and not because we are twins. It's because of our faith. It's because we learn what it means to say sorry to each other. There are times when we hurt each other. Well, we apologize. We learn to make peace with each other. We learn to be reconciled. And you know, over the years, we have learned what it means to find a deeper relationship with each other. You don't want to wait years and years later and to find a way to relate. It is going to be even harder. But if we can learn to relate with our brothers and our sisters and our parents now, you can have a whole lifetime of joy, of love, of having a wonderful family relating with each other. And it's because we can have that kind of faith that will change our heart so that we would be able to relate. You're going to have holidays. Some of you will be going on trips and you'll be spending time with your family. Don't just go on holiday. Take time to draw closer to your family members. And it does mean learning what it means to grow our faith. And thirdly, we also can learn what it means to draw closer to God. When we grow our faith, and when we learn what it means to have a change of heart in the way we see things, in the way we relate with each other, we are actually drawing closer to God. And that, to me, is the most important thing, that you can actually have a sense of closeness with God. To me, wow, that's wonderful. That is something that we all can learn to do, right? When you see your family drawing closer to each other, when you draw closer to your brother and your sister because of faith, you are actually learning what it means to draw closer to God. It is something that is experience. It is something that all of us can understand, where you are able to see God involved in keeping us, in protecting us, in providing for us. To me, this is the best part. This is the best thing, where we can actually learn to draw closer with God. I really thank God. I only have one twin brother, and I thank God for the relationship that we had. So this week, we had lunch together. And you know, to me, wow, it's just a lunch. We joke with each other. We were talking about the Lord. We were talking about the Lord's word. We were talking about our plans. And, you know, I was just so thankful that we can have so many years of wonderful relationship with each other. And it's all because of the Lord. And all of us can experience that too. Whether it's with our family members, whether it's with our friends or anybody else, we can actually have a change of heart because when we learn to grow our faith the way we should. Let's learn what it means to continue to cultivate this faith that God has given to us, and that we will be able, Lord, that we will be able to see a greater sense of closeness with the Lord and with each other. Well, let's turn to God in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we truly want to thank you for this time that we can learn, even as we study about Jacob and Esau. Thank you for the kind of faith that Jacob had learned to cultivate that affected his heart, that there was a change of heart in him, that he was able to see things differently, to look for more spiritual things rather than the physical things of life. That affected his relationship with Esau, that he was able to find this love again. We pray, Lord, that you will help us also to grow our faith, to learn to have a change of heart, and to draw closer to you and to our family members. We recognize that maybe we have difficulties with each other, but we pray, Lord, that even as we learn to grow our faith, we can learn what it means to change and to develop that greater sense of closeness with our family members. We ask that you will especially bless us, for we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, have
Well, have a good holiday. Even if you are traveling, well, may the Lord grant you journey mercies. And really take time to relate, right? Whether it's your siblings, whether it's your parents. Of course, Father's Day is coming soon. So really take time to draw closer. And it's not just about, let's do this, let's do that. It's really about, let's really grow our faith. And let your own heart be changed and see how that will affect your relationship with each other. Right? Have a good weekend. I'll catch you again.